Let's go. Trace, intro us.
Welcome back to Shifting Through the Gears. My name is Trace Battleson, along with
Nathan Shinsako
and
Kyo Shinsako. Thank you guys for joining us today. Obviously, there's a third person that you guys have never seen before.
Twin sisters.
Yes. He's just gorgeous, isn't he?
Just the prettiest. I'm the prettiest out of the family.
Obviously, with the podcast, you guys have seen a few changes. Addition of Brace as a co-host, the T40 as a team vehicle. And now we are adding a media person. Reason we're doing that is just for better engagement, a little bit more in-depth. And
make things look prettier on camera for you.
And, yeah, because I don't have the time. I don't have the patience to do the videos. I'll be honest.
I'm very poor with social media editing and tagging. And
I just feel like you have to have a keen eye for the camera angles.
I do not have that.
I also am way too... I work too damn much.
It's creating the scenario before it actually happens in your head and then capturing it. That's how I see it all.
And that makes sense. Perfect.
So... Yeah, look out for his pretty posts. But we do have a Snapchat that's still active. Mm-hmm. So we'll actually start using that. We have an Instagram. Yes, we have a Facebook race that tags in it. We're going to have to... We tried recording this before, but it just didn't happen. We found out real quick 4K eats a lot of data. Gigs.
Yep, like 5 minutes into it.
Which is so bad. And then we're going to make a Twitter.
Eventually we'll do 4K content.
Yeah. Oh, and a TikTok.
Yep. And we're going to have a TikTok eventually in the next few podcasts. They should have all the socials for you guys to be able to click.
We do. We have the link tree set up. I set that up earlier this week. So we're going to start tagging that in all of the descriptions down below for you.
And then, we'll cover what he wants to do with the direction of media later. So... Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Nathan, and let the people get to know you, and then we'll start throwing some questions at you.
Alrighty. I was born in Las Vegas, Nevada. Grew up around cars. My dad always had a nice little JDM in the garage and always working on it with him.
I grew up with JDM vehicles, me over here with American Muscle.
No, I grew up on American Muscle cars. I did it just to piss my dad off.
He's true to the heritage, then.
Yeah, I mean, my dad had a few Impalas and a few nice lowriders, but mainly drift cars, mainly nice little Japanese cars.
Like, where'd he got one?
You want the blue or the red?
A really big rim cleaner for him, so it really started off my detailing, and I like making the cars look pretty. He's taken me to a bunch of car shows. My first one was a hot import night in Las Vegas, which was a bunch of drifting and motocross.
Hell yeah.
So that's what really caught my eye on the whole car community.
What was the... Just because you talked about cars, it made me think of what I remember my first riding was. What was the first car you remember riding with your dad in?
That got you hooked.
Yeah, that you're like, this shit's awesome.
As silly as it is, it was a Honda Del Sol.
No shit.
A Honda Del Sol. He had it tuned. He had his own computer in there. Nothing really major, just intercooler stuff. No turbo, not boosted or anything. Just small little things upgraded, and that thing, cooked. Yeah, it cooked for a little car.
That's it. Wasn't it his daily, too?
Yeah, it was his daily. He worked all the way out of town working with drywall, so he would take it all the way through the lakefront and everything in Vegas. And
it's a great commuter,
that's for
sure.
45 miles
there back. So loud, though. Loud. A mile away, and you could just still hear, bah!
Them Honda owners love to straight pipe the world.
Yeah.
You know who took over for that? BQ owners.
Sorry. Guilty as charged.
I mean, yeah, we're going to have to be guilty on that one.
Oh, yeah.
You're definitely guilty.
Yeah, Catless headers, 3-inch straight pipe all the way at the back. Full power, baby.
If you have to text while you're pulling up, then your car is not loud enough.
Facts. Big facts.
Damn.
That's true. For me, what sold me and got me hooked in cars was I was young. My dad had a Fox Body Camaro or a Fox Body Mustang. Mm. Don't remember a whole lot about that. It was the car after that, though. He totaled the Mustang. Someone rear-ended him. He took all the nitrous parts off of it, made him work on a 97 Camaro SS. Ooh. That I remember. And I begged him as a child to keep it until I could drive.
Wow.
Moved to Pennsylvania. The day before we moved, he sold it. I was heartbroken.
Mm. That's why you've been on the chase for enough. You cannot find a good clean one.
Nope.
That's not 50, you know, 25 grand.
Nope. That's why I found the shell of the 2011. So I'm like, that'll settle. It's one of the dream cars.
I just got the new version, man. It's okay.
I will have a 97 to add to the Camaro collection. The only one after that is going to be the 69 SS.
The 69s are really nice.
Yep. Dream. All-time favorite.
The fastback.
Yep.
Get a drawn wicket.
So there's something I forgot to ask that I like to ask at the start. What are you drinking, Thrace?
Oh,
we're going to cover what we drink each time. It could
Oktoberfest.
Bye.
Don't know much about it. I just got into it. He knows more about it than I do.
Revolution Brewing. Nate, what are you drinking?
Infinity Hero. India Pale Ale.
India.
Yep. It's an IPA.
Yeah, this thing's really nice.
And then I'm drinking the same thing because I just finished off my Bodum, another IPA.
I've tried the Anti-Hero. I couldn't get with it.
It's real hoppy.
This Infinity Hero is really decent. I actually really like it.
You didn't like that one either. I sent you home with that one.
I'm very picky when it comes to beer.
The Oktoberfest, I didn't really like last night.
Really?
Yeah. I love the Oktoberfest.
I'm really big into like Corona and Modelo. This is just like a whole different ball game. This is the first one I like, other than the what is it, Rev Pill? The white box, the white and red can.
It's just Rev Brewing's Pilsner.
Yeah, that one was pretty good too.
So we're gonna do that even if we're drinking a different kind of drink, whether it's, you know, beer, water,
whiskey, tequila.
Funky craft Coke, craft sodas.
I got another idea.
Tequila.
For the ending of for all of our podcasts.
Yeah.
Take a shot of Sasuke. Or sake. Oh,
yeah, then we can tell which one.
Who's Sasuke and how big is he? If y'all got recommendations on alcohol, we're gonna try everything y'all recommend.
Even if they have I've seen one of these podcasts that they do neither of them drink.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people give them like recommendations like craft sodas. And some are really good, and some are horribly bad. Like, you open it up, and you're like, ugh.
Like that rum that I brought you?
Oh! Sir, I aged 5 years with the shot of that. Jeez, Lord.
Yep.
That moonshine. That moonshine up there. Who's
moonshine up there? I got it from one of my old plays.
That clear one?
That little bottle.
With the wooden cork? That one puts some hair on your chest.
You're going to have to. I have a shot glass under the glass.
Oh, I'm done.
Didn't you catch under the theme? I had three glasses and three shot glasses.
No, I never pay attention.
Jesus.
Wait for the end. We'll do that. I'm always sold on some moonshine.
Hell yeah. Let's get back on, let's get back on topic. Thrace, what's a question you want to ask him?
Draw a blank.
So, obviously, you grew up around cars. What kind of activities did you enjoy as a kid, and what kind of stuff do you enjoy now? And how do you? We'll do that, and then we'll after that. How do you think that affected you getting into cars?
I was actually a scooter kid. I did a lot of scooter riding.
Makes sense.
I played a lot of video games, obviously a lot of racing games. This is for the old classics, Juice 2 on Xbox 360 is what I started on. That and obviously the iconic Need for Speed. Yeah, there was a game called Juiced, and it was the most awesome Xbox 360 game when it came to racing.
Okay, so when it comes to Need for Speed, which one?
I started off with Most Wanted.
He's a handful of years younger than we are.
I'm a 2000s baby. I was born 2000.
That's fair. I started off. It was one of the first ones. I'm probably missing one before this, but Need for Speed Carbon, when they first had the drifting, the actual drifting races in it. Me and Kyle would spend hours all night long trying to top each other on it.
Another comment to what really got me into cars is we had a game called Midnight Club.
Oh, Which one? One or two? Yeah.
We had two. The Midnight Club.
On what platform?
Xbox 360. It was Ooh. LA.
Remember the Dub Edition? Yep.
The Dub Edition. That's what it was. I had the Midnight Club PSP. Dub Edition. And me, my brother, and my dad had a competition on who could hit 100% first, and I won.
Damn. Yeah, I only played that one on PSP.
I had it for PSP, too, for travels. Yep. That was a really fun time.
Yep.
I'm going to show my age here a little bit.
Okay, Grandpa.
Need for Speed Hot Pursuit on the PC.
Ooh.
When dial-up was new.
I have the remake.
I think it was the Hot Pursuit. It was like the first or second.
I gave it to Dustin a few years ago. Because when that came out, he loved playing as the cop cars. And I'm like, you are not my child. We don't fuck with cops. All jokes.
Like, I never turned 12. I went from 11 to 13.
Because no. 12.
Yep, but 12.
I forgot that even existed.
No Facebook case, bro.
Yeah, I remember playing that game. Me and Toshi used to play that game on Battles. Like, you play the game nonstop. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what is your favorite form of driving? Favorite form of racing.
Drift racing.
Why?
I like the style. I like the tandems. I like seeing how far you can push an uncontrolled vehicle. Controlling an uncontrolled vehicle.
I like it. If you could drive a car for drifting, what would be your ideal setup for it? Chassis, motor, all of it.
I like the S15 body styles. Okay. I like the wideness of them. I like how they're boaty, but not. They're not too big, but they're not too small where you just loop out if you want to throw a hard angle.
They're nimble.
Yeah. And I want a 1JZ. The 2JZ is nice. Don't get me wrong, but I really don't want to drift with that much power. Like, I would rather have a subtle engine that sounds super pretty. I like the sound of the 1JZ.
Why not the best of both worlds? Do like a 1.5.
I could do a 1.5. I could consider get a little bit of both.
You get the sound, a little bit more power, more reliability out of it.
Right, right. And I want to be like, I want a flashy car. I want the big stickers. I want the crazy livery. I want the bright wheels. I want to be seen and known when I'm drifting.
Oh yeah.
I like the flashiness of it all.
I agree. It's one of the most show-off sports. Yeah, one of the most show-off motorsports.
No, for real. You get to show off the artwork of the car. Mm-hmm. The car itself is art, and then you're drifting it, which in itself is art. People don't understand how much effort it actually takes.
Driving in cursive.
Yeah, to drive in cursive. It takes a lot of work. Especially to get good enough to tandem with people, that brings a whole new level.
A lot of control, a lot of trust too.
A lot of control and a lot of trust in your other partner. Because if you don't trust that person, you both are going down 100% every time.
Yeah. Agreed.
You got another good one for
him? Not at the moment.
Let's see.
What you got?
Kind of took mine.
That's what I'm here for.
Obviously, you kind of told us what got you into motorsports, what's your dream cars, what kind of vehicles have you owned, and what's your ideal daily driver?
I've owned two, and they, fortunately but unfortunately, with the same exact vehicle, but not the same exact vehicle. They were both LS400s. The first one was stock. It was nice. I liked the luxury. I liked the cruising. It ate gas. Premium only life.
To be
expected. Love those V8s.
I don't miss that.
That's a 240 right now. It's tuned for 93.
The second one...
I expect to burn gas in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This thing's going to burn gas.
No, it's not.
It's a little V6.
It's
going
to burn gas.
But the second one I had bought, and it was already lowered on coils and had rims, and I wanted to do a VIP build. I want to do a VIP build, but I don't want to slam it to the ground. I want to put it on airbags.
That was my next question. Static or airbags?
You're only living life till you're scraping frame everywhere you go.
For a daily, I want airbags only considering my location of living.
Bags are for groceries. Static for life.
I just want the bags so I can daily drive it when it's, per se, winter and snowing outside. I can raise my car and drive it normally.
You don't want to be a self-made snowplow?
No. I don't want to be a street sweeper.
We both played that before, and we did not enjoy either one of those.
Oh, the TC went everywhere in the snow until you had to stop.
I value the body of my car. I don't mind slamming it to the ground when it's parked in my car. He was like, I sent that thing off a 10-foot jump and didn't care.
Yeah, if you've seen what I put that thing through, you'd be concerned.
He was like, I was pulling Keto out of the snow.
I'm pretty sure I pulled him off the curb when he crashed his Legacy.
Oh, no.
No, I backed it out. You drove me home.
Oh, no. What I'm thinking of is when you first brought it home and didn't tell nobody, and you needed a jump start, and I passed you doing, like, 15 over speed limit. And I call you going, hey, where are you? I don't see you.
I'm like, were you the asshole in the TC that just flew past me?
Yeah, I'm looking for a
red
legacy.
If anybody's wondering, this all happened in Mexico. Of course.
Yeah. Backstory. He owned a red legacy, traded it plus his Camry for a black legacy with, what, a WRX swap in it?
Yeah, 2-liter. It was a relatively stock WRX swap. It was not stock after I got done with it.
No, but he told nobody what he did.
No, fuck no.
Told nobody that he was getting it. It died while he was driving and needed a jump start. So he calls me. I passed him, not knowing who. I asked him if he was on the Legacy. He said yes. Didn't tell me he got a new one, nor the color of it. So I passed him and didn't think anything of it. I called him, like, yo, where are you? And he goes, you passed me like 5 minutes ago. I'm like, where? He goes, the black car with the silver bumper on the front of it? That's me. I'm like, what did you do with the red one, and why did you paint it? He goes, no, this is a whole new one. Traded two cars for one. I'm like, you could have said that from the beginning, sir.
It was supposed to be a surprise. All right, I got the car.
Well, if you need help, tell me that you got a different one or it's a different color.
I got the car after I made a 4-hour drive to my house. Started and stopped perfectly fine. Come to find out, Optims are only good for about 4 years. I didn't know. I thought he just put the battery in. He said it's a new battery. Assumed it wasn't, and it was not a point. Yeah, that was a fun one.
It was a cool car. That's for sure. I still got videos, long videos of the exhaust on that too.
I remember when I got picked up by a Supra, and he said, "I'm on low boost. Let's go for a run. I'm gonna lose."
Low boost his, of like 30.
His, I was gonna say his low boost is from 60 to 30.
Low boost for him is high boost cracking your block.
Well, it was that white Supra that everybody knew that had, I didn't know it had like 4 fucking tunes.
Oh, I know, because when I was meeting you into the city, I called you and I said, hey, a Supra's picking on me, and you're like, what color? And I said it was white, and you're like, hold the fucking phone. And I'm like, oh, trust me, I am. I gotta talk to you somehow.
I got a question for you guys.
Sure.
This is different.
You guys have a 240 now. How do you guys feel about people who 240.14 or .15 swap them where they have
I think it's dope
end,
as fuck. Fucking
front ends
Monster,
or back ends.
Monster Performance. They've got an S13 with a 15 front end on it. I think it's the coolest fucking thing in the world.
I think it's... Devin, I don't mind it.
Devin did the S14 rear conversion with the kooky front end on his. Dude, I have never been more in love with a 240 than that.
I don't mind it if it has the right aesthetics. Right. If it's dead nut stock body, it doesn't look right. If you do some kind of
if you can do it right
wheels...
If you do it right on a stock body that looks factory, I am sold.
I feel like...
Devin did his... flawlessly.
I feel like it depends where you start it and where you finish it. Like, it all depends on how much you actually convert it to the .5s and .4s.
Personally, my ideal S chassis setup would be an S14 with a 15 front end, the S13 coupe taillights on it, and that's it.
What about the hatch? Did you want to keep the hatch?
I'm not a big fan of the hatch.
Ooh,
personally,
I want to go with that thing.
When I bought the hatch, I was looking for a coupe. I am more partial to the coupes than I am the hatch.
Okay, and then one more. Me and Keo have been having this argument. Pop-ups or not pop-ups?
Pop-ups 100%. 90s, baby. Pop-up.
Pop-up. All the
up
way.
And down headlights.
I like pop-ups until one of them, like on a, especially on a daily drive that you drive. I like them until... One of the motors dies.
Keep them up.
I don't want to keep them up.
You got dials on them. You could just twist
it. Why do you think I don't like
up?
A C5? I like a C6.
I just love pop-ups.
I don't...
Childhood, baby.
On the right car. If it came factory, pop-ups. That's I'm doing pop-ups.
My the only right car is right here.
My only
I have one right there.
Exactly. Point proven.
That's even getting
you can't do housing. Bricks on this.
No, I'm just going to do housings. Like a 300
He's
going
to convert it.
You are a disgrace to the Japanese culture.
Hey, I'm all about aerodynamics and simplicity.
The bricks look good on the right setup, yeah. But pop-ups to me are good on almost anything that came from the factory with them.
If it's got a square, if it's got like this,
except for problem, the Pontiac Trans Am, that was a disgrace to pop-ups.
That you've never had.
Speaking God, of the front so bad. MR2, have you thought of what you fully want to do to it yet?
I'm waiting for my guy Dom to get back in town, but it's good. I'm aiming K24 turbo.
Is it going to just be a
Honda boy for life? Straight
is
pipe.
Anybody who actually knows me is shitting themselves because I did not want to K swap it. It's just easier for me to either K swap or so everybody asks, why don't you do 2GR swap it? I don't want 2GR swap it. I want easy.
4AG.
No, it's too old.
So? It's iconic.
That's great. I can't get parts for it.
Oh, we can find you parts.
I can, however, I can go do a newer Camry motor, like the 2016, 2017 Camrys.
Yeah.
Still puts me over 200 horsepower at the wheel.
Is it going to be like a daily, or are you going to drag it? Or
no, it's a cruise car.
Just a cruise.
Cars and Coffee cruise car classic.
It's going to be what it currently is, a giant fucking paperweight.
Honestly, even when I finish it, I'm going to drive it, honestly, maybe once a month.
It's a show car. Oh, that's so all it is.
It's a Cars and Coffee.
It's going to be the Japanese nice. Rolls Royce.
Take it down.
Let the brother you bought it off of or inherited it off of drive it one last time.
Yeah.
and then it's going to make him kick himself for it, and he's going to offer you a ridiculous amount of money back for it.
No, that's why I want a K. That's why I want a K24 slot.
So he hates it?
No. No, he just wants to drive it. He just wants to drive it. I just tell him.
Put an SR in it.
No, fuck SRs, dude.
Why?
I'm sorry, fuck SRs.
That's fair.
I do not like SRs.
K-A swap.
Why do I not like SRs? In Japan, in Australia, fine, they're fantastic fucking motors. I'm not going to waste my money in an SR when I cannot get half the parts I need for them.
That's true.
That is, yeah.
They sound awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't need it. I don't want it.
Another dream setup?
VQ swap and MR2?
No.
Fuck no. God, I would jump off a bridge having to do maintenance on that car.
Why? You get parts anywhere.
I want to RB.
You see
swap
the size
LS.
Of the engine bay.
Fair. You want what?
RB swap an LS400 and drift it.
I think I know the perfect man to help you with that.
Because an LS400
Mr.
swapped
Cho
RB.
Mr. Cho at the M.
Man, that'd be actually really neat.
Right, and it would be a one of a kind for sure. No, well, yeah, I don't think anybody's ever done that before.
If you ever get the chassis for it, Mr. Cho, he's going to need some help with it.
Yeah, man, definitely.
I have to make one amendment to the SRs. They can go into a 240.
Hell yeah.
They do not belong in an MR2. They do not belong in a Corolla. They do not belong in a fucking Dodge Dart.
A fucking Honda motor doesn't belong in a Toyota.
I can find Honda parts. And there's people who make Honda swaps. Nobody makes an SR swap, 20 swap for
an RV swapped AE86.
No, somebody's done it, I thought.
I can fuck with that.
Somebody's done that? I feel like I can fuck with that.
For a grassroots car, that would be a pretty solid setup.
Yeah, that would be a really...
It's got to be an RV26. I'm not messing with the RV20.
Fair.
If I'm going to do an RV... If I'm going to do a 2.0, I'll do the SR at that point.
That's fair. I just like to...
Mind you, I don't know shit about Nissans. I'm not a big Nissan.
Okay, or we could do...
I just like the anti-lag.
The 3-liter...
You could put an anti-lag on anything.
You could do a 3-liter inline 6 from a BMW.
So ooh. Where across my forehead does it say, slap me with a bat?
Right across your hat.
Oh, yeah. Tell her. Yeah, sorry.
I'm just saying, my first 240, I pulled out a 2.5 inline 6 from my... I had a 5 series, a 95... So I was getting ready to swap into an S13 hatch.
See, I don't know. I've never been big on... The BMW motors are so finicky.
Yeah.
On which one's the good one.
Done
they
right,
sound good.
They are monsters.
That is another dream. Is that M3?
Yeah.
The older M3 series?
Hell yeah.
I have a question for
you. The 1Ms are badass, too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
they almost have the same style. I like I like box styled cars.
Yeah,
I don't like the sharp edges. I don't like round edges. I like the boxiness of a car.
Yeah,
The M1 is a super rounded car. It's got the boxy ass, but it has all the smoothness.
Yeah. It's the ass, though. The ass end of the car is really what makes it.
BMW's always had that. You can see BMW and just the outline of it.
He likes the ass built like a fucking block. Ladies, hit him up.
Roadblocks.
Oh my god. This is going so to left field. We're going with it. Whatever.
Yeah, we are. Can't quit now.
Question for you. Just because we talking shit about cars.
What's one car that you despise that should never have been made?
Pontiac.
Facts.
Do you want me to go with the generic answer or not?
No, legit.
Whatever you feel in your soul.
A Mustang. I'm sorry, I hate Mustangs, man. I hate them.
The Camaro, we wouldn't have the Charger, we wouldn't have the Challenger if it weren't for the Mustang.
That's okay, I don't like muscle cars, I like JDMs.
Damn. But we wouldn't have JDM cars if we didn't have muscle cars.
Oh, just know I'm leaving a nice imprint on your door.
It's either got to be butt cheeks or your nutsack, one of the two.
Oh, no, it's going to be that nice old tire that's sitting right in front of your face.
You'll have to keep up.
I'll find a way.
Good luck keeping up.
I'll find a way.
Hey, he never said if it was going to be on the track. He just said,
I'm just going to mark the door.
He's going to pull up next to him.
Yeah, I'm just going to, hey, Trace. an actual legit car that I wish was probably, general or the drifting community?
In general.
We'll say both.
Okay, I want to know general first.
So, in general, probably a smart car. Those things are so useless.
Oh my god, I couldn't agree more.
I'll argue on one half because I work in the city. They're a fantastic city car.
Oh yeah, I guess big city for parking and shit and fuel and all that. But
Kyle borrowed
actually
mom's.
Grocery shopping or a family car, it's trash. It's like a single person car, I guess per se.
It's a commuter car.
Yeah, it's just a nice A to B car, but useless build. It's a useless car.
Unless it's a Hayabusa.
The Hayabusa motor swaps popping wheelies. But not everybody has the money to hire a Hayabusa to swap on.
The Busa costs more than that car.
Yeah.
The motor costs more than half the cars that you see on the road.
I was going to say probably more than all the cars right now in the driveway.
Not even close. That's 10 grand sitting there. This is 7 grand sitting here. The one outside is 5 grand sitting there.
That's overpriced as fuck. I'll tell you that right now.
This fucking sure is. That I can see the cost.
What do you mean?
This is a 2K car all day. This is like a 4K car as it sits. We need to stop overpricing these fucking shit boxes.
Hold it, wrong hand.
Stupid.
No, but for real, drift.
There's no reason to fucking overprice this fucking shit. Someone wants a car, it's their dream car, sell it to them for cheap, how they're supposed to be, and let someone else enjoy the fucking thing.
Right, especially with every car going electric, people don't realize we're not going to have this gas luxury forever.
Right. You need quick money, sell the fucking shit for cheaper. You're never going to sell the shit if you... As this thing sits, I'm not going to get even close to 5K for it. This is a $2,000 shell all day. As it sits with motor and trans in it, you got to finish the wiring, order a drive shaft. $2,000 all day.
Yeah, I think the price is a little bit crazy. Yeah. What was... kind of kick it back a little bit on questions for a second, because I want to know this one. If you could take one car, you have a $5,000 budget... 10 years ago. Ooh. You have one car to buy. What car would you have bought?
When he was fucking 12?
Yeah.
18?
13?
5 years ago?
5 years ago? Yeah. 18.
Oh, did it?
You said 10 years ago, so yeah, I would have been 13.
So, okay, fine. At that rate, money wasn't a concept for you.
Facts.
What was the car you thought in 12, 13, your early teens that you thought was super cool? That you look at nowadays and think, there's no way in hell I'd buy that car because it's so overpriced.
It's sitting in front of me.
Fair enough.
It's sitting in front of me. Alright, if I could choose though, I personally would want a 180 over a 240.
Same fucking shit.
I feel like that's anybody though who owns a 240 or any type of 240 or S13, S14. They would want a 180 only because...
It came with the RSR20. It came with all those...
So and it's a little tiny
clone
bit
it.
Longer.
Fucking clone it. Make
but
it
it's
cheaper.
A little
the
bit longer
the
than
only difference is the bumpers.
The same
it's the same
fucking
chassis.
Thing.
It's the different bumpers.
But they're just, they're, I don't know, they're just seem
swap it. Buy one. Swap it. You can buy a whole front clip. It's firewall right. Forward.
So, but then I won't have a pretty logo. I'm going to have a 240SX in my window.
Replace
not
the window. All
right, so I have a question for you. Like, because obviously I think people are starting to see by now. If you're still watching, thank you. But you can see we have very different styles and tastes.
Yep. Personally, if I could get rid of a car, it would be the 240. Because we wouldn't have these outrageous fucking prices.
Something else would have taken its spot. It would have been a 350
that's
or
fine.
The Miata. Or, wouldn't the Miata still
that's completely fine. I'd rather see an overpriced Miata because nobody wants to buy
it. I was going
to
say, as a kid,
wants to drift,
I thought...
They want to drive
that's
car.
Fine. Yeah, that's fair. They're too short, too snappy.
I thought Miatas were cool as shit, but I think it's because I grew up in that Honda del Sol. Like, I grew up in a small car, so...
Well, you
that.
Should see Shane's from So-El.
I seen Adam's. Adam's has a really nice Miata.
No, the del Sol.
Shane's got a del Sol.
Oh, he has
Shane's
a del Sol.
Del Sol was his daily until
he
turned
it
into a show
it?
Car.
Yeah, you have
it
to have a...
all factory.
No, it's...
He did wide body,
so
inherently frame.
Clean.
The thing is sick. It's the only del Sol.
Still front-wheel drive?
Still front-wheel drive.
Ooh! I wanted to always swap a real-wheel drive.
Wide
del
body,
Sol and
tuck
drifting.
In. Oh, man, this thing is...
I wanted the real-wheel drive swap yeah. A del Sol only because I wanted to compete against a Miata in it.
That would be a great matchup.
A Miata and a del Sol, if you rear-wheel drive swap a del Sol, I think it would be an awesome matchup.
Yeah. Agreed. So real quick, like...
It's kind of like, what's that little small car that everybody's drifting now, that Scion or that...
Oh, the FRS.
Yeah.
That's not a small
car.
No,
not the FRS. The
The BRZ?
No, not those cars. They're like, the Focuses. They're like Ford Focuses that they're drifting.
Who's drifting a Ford Focus?
Not
like,
a
where
Focus.
Can I meet them?
But what are those like little short Beetle-looking cars that someone's drifting?
A Beetle?
No. It's a yellow car.
You're talking about the 1,100 or 1,000 horsepower Corolla?
Maybe. Is it the...
That's not everybody. That's one guy on the planet drifting that car.
No, but, like, a lot of people are starting to, like, drift cars like that
the
now.
The 8086?
No, it's...
I think he's talking... What's the name? The yellow Rain-X Corolla GR.
Oh, the Corolla. Yeah,
it's
newer
that,
one.
Yeah, I think so.
There's only one guy.
But it's like the hatch.
Still a front-wheel drive car from factory.
Really?
No, GR. All-wheel drive.
Yeah,
still not ideal for drifting unless it's in the snow.
But at the same time, if you look at what they actually did, it's a rear-wheel drive. Mm-hmm.
It could be the same as a Subaru. Pull the front axles, weld the cap onto it.
Oh, no, it's a transaxle. But they actually rotated the motor. It's a Formula E car.
Yeah, no, I'm saying from factory.
Oh, yeah, from factory.
From factory. Pull the axles, weld the cap. Same as a Subaru.
People don't realize how much horsepower you gain from the welding dip.
Yeah, none while turning.
you
helped me push this thing. That was a fucking nightmare.
That was.
But real quick, like Thrace, what's your style and kind of how do you, what do you see? Obviously, you're kind of a mix of import and domestics, but like, do you like to import a lot of cars? Like, a quick view of that. Do you want to give me an example?
If I could import, any
no, I mean
car.
Like your style, like
oh.
So for example, for me. I love a ton of different cars. Sorry. I will only fuck with a car that I can get stateside. I do not want to bother. I don't.
Oh,
great,
I'll
I
import
have,
a car all day long.
I would, but at the same time, I look at the cost of now. If I have a right-hand drive, I have an accident. It's gonna be twice as hard to find certain specific parts for.
Okay,
it.
But let's say money isn't
that's
involved.
Why, that's why it's not an option. You just drive it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Like,
if you're in an accident, it is what it is. Go find another one. Or source the parts.
At the same time, if you look
there's
at
a,
the cars we're looking for,
there's a local dealer in Chicago that gets parts for import vehicles.
Not only that, how many parts are actually compatible and convertible from American to JDM?
A ton.
Exactly.
It's like the G35 is also a Japanese vehicle.
No, my point is, you get a 180SX.
Yeah.
Now you have an accident. And you need that specific part from Japan. You don't
say
have
you need a door and a fender. Go get one off a 240SX, and that's 13. Same fucking thing.
Taxes.
You can find
them all day on marketplaces.
My point is, I don't want to deal with chasing it down. I want to be able to go to a junkyard and go pull a door for a Mustang off in the junkyard.
You might be able to find one for this in a fucking junkyard.
Have you seen what these people have gone?
Junkyard, not marketplace.
Junkyards are even charging an ass ton nowadays. You used to be able to get a door for $15 at the junkyard. It's $150 now.
I mean, it's better than $300 on Marketplace.
Not much better. You gotta go pull the shit off yourself. Every time you play soft
car. I gotta pull it off myself.
Like, I don't know, for me, like, I love a ton of cars. I would not bother importing an MR2.
I would love to import a car.
Because... Oh, I'd love to import one, but I'm talking, like, as
there's
a
like
sports car.
There's, like, three of them that I want offhand. One's gonna be the G35. In Japan, they're called the Skylines.
What are they
a
fucking
right-hand drive G35 is fucking
baller. No, the Kia trucks.
The
Kia trucks? The
K-trucks.
Yeah, what are they called? K-trucks. The little beds.
Oh, the one that Colin has.
Yeah. Does he have one?
They're all K-trucks, but what brand? Do you want Mitsubishi? Do you want Honda? Do you want Honda? Do you want Nissan? Do you want Toyota?
Oh, I
want
a little Nissan one.
I think Colin has
every manufacturer has a K-truck.
Subaru.
I didn't know that.
Subaru is one of the biggest ones.
Yeah, I think.
I want a little Nissan one. I've seen a bunch of Nissan ones and a bunch of videos, and they look super cool when they're all like decked out and slammed and stuff.
Like I said, for me, it's my style is.
It'd be nice to pull up to the drift track in one of those and have your car on the bed.
What car? Smart car?
A Maxwash car?
No. They actually make them where you can have bed extensions and tow your car
again.
To track with
a Maxwash car?
actual drift car. Yeah, I'm gonna pull up with my 240 power wheel and be like, "This is my comp car."
If you find one, send me the link.
I will try.
I will buy.
We could probably mold a body for one.
Oh, 100%. I got a guy that's good with fiberglass.
Yeah, see, we can mold one. Imagine pulling up to the track.
Just buy the go-kart chassis. I got a guy that'll make
Make a crazy kart one.
Hell yeah.
I'm game. I feel like we should all get crazy karts. It would be a nice little activity to do together.
Crazy karts right here.
Like I said, for me, I like a ton of different cars. I like a lot of different driving styles.
Mm-hmm.
I target grip driving, so course driving, and I target drifting.
So
I looked at, again, for like cars, if money wasn't an option, give me whatever car, I don't care where it's from. I look at it from the money I have in my pocket, I need to be able to, whatever vehicle I have, I need to be able to go get a part. Example, that's why the LSs are, it doesn't matter what car, the LS is such a powerful platform because of the fact that you fucking blow a seal out, you blow this out,
and most
you
of
can
those
go
parts
to
are
an
interchangeable
auto zone on Walmart and buy half the parts.
Yep.
You can't do that with the RB, you can't do that with the built 2 JZ. You can't do that with an SR. You can't do it with this. You can't do it with that.
But that's why most people have a daily so they can take that time to order that part, part, and then use their daily in the meantime.
It is, but now my point of going this is you're on the way to the comp.
If money's not an option.
You're at a comp, you blow something on an LS, you can go to AutoZone. You can fix it that day.
If money is not an option, you can get a part from anybody.
I'm saying
next
I'm looking money is option.
Okay, so we'll do both.
Money is
it. Money not an option. Time's not an option. It's not your daily. And then we'll do also.
A realistic one where not
what we could afford.
When something goes wrong, it's not, I have 3 weeks to an event. I have an event fucking tomorrow and I just got off the
bike. Oh, yeah.
At that point,
example,
become the best welder ever.
For me, it's going to be anything with an LS. It's going to be my Camaro.
And that's why I go, what can I.
Or Ross's
I go chassis. What can, like, chassis and stuff. I want to go, what can I get stateside?
What can I get stateside?
Is
I mean, New Edge Mustang. New Edge Mustang in fucking junkyard 5.3.
Is that why you think it separates the states and, like, say, Japan drifting and states drifting?
Completely different.
Japan, you're going to see a bunch of RBs, 1Js, 2Js.
That's
all those
SRs. SRs. That's their USDM.
And then for America, you're going to see a lot of built V6s, a lot of built V8s.
Yep.
100%. That's because the U.S., we can get stuff to those V6 and V8s. Japan can get those. They
SR
can,
parts.
Yes.
Yeah,
like, so,
parts,
you want an SR.
Parts.
It's all local.
You want an SR. You can go to any store, any parts place in Japan, and buy a short block. It's there. You can do the same. You can walk into AutoZone and buy a short block for LS right now. You go into, I need an SR.
I can go to O'Reilly's. I can go to O'Reilly's right now. I've been watching it. I can get the trans for my Camaro.
Back on the track a little bit with some questions.
That's part of my question. Is give people your styles.
No, I know. Speaking of which.
Oh, he's got a question.
Yeah. Huh. Since you're talking about styles, I don't know if this is a spoiler for the podcast or not. This is my first episode. But since you're thinking about being a driver, what style do you want? What style are you looking to do? Or
I think I'm more of a style driver, but I want to be able to. I want to get in, obviously, after a few seasons. Like, I just want to drive to have fun. Drive to share experience. I'm not going to be a comp driver. I just want to go have fun. Like,
fair. So
just want to go have fun.
Even if you got really good just being a fun driver, would you ever consider comp?
I would consider a comp.
If he gets a really nice booster seat.
I do need one. I'm like 5 foot four. Like half
I'm sure
the
we
seats.
Can get some stilts for the pedals.
Somebody got some extra pillows I can tuck in when I'm in there. No, I think I go style. I would want to create, I'd want to pick different aspects from people's driving and try to put it in. I don't have the balls yet to be an aggressive power driver.
Yeah, like, once you but get familiar with the chassis, you get familiar with the power plant, you get familiar with the controls of it, you will evolve into a more aggressive person. Once
oh, this
you get
is
a
two-way
more,
question. There's a second yours. Person here. Yeah, this
oh,
is
I'm
yours.
Aggressive with it. I've, okay. I've done my tandems. I'm
you're
familiar
like,
with drifting.
Put the bumper on the wall.
I'm ready to be on someone's door.
Okay.
It's been a few years.
Even your own brothers?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You slap him.
I just put it on my door. I need to return the favor.
I think he would drive even harder against
he put the purple 240 on my G's door, and I need to pay him back for it.
Dang.
100%.
Can you not go to the streetcar?
You heard it wrong.
Whatever.
You
know, it's
on that door.
Okay, fair. If it's on the track, it's fair game.
He put it on my daily's door. I need to put it on his daily's door.
What about you, mate? So, obviously, I would go style and fun. He would go aggressive and calm. What would you do?
I have to follow the roots of my favorite drifter, which is...
Chelsea DeNova.
Nope. James Dean? Nope.
Forrest Wang.
Ah, that's who.
Ooh.
Forrest Wang, only because he's local to my hometown. Not only because he's local to my hometown. I've gotten to meet him a couple times. I've gotten to talk to him a few times. I got a signed banner from him.
Oh,
and I've always loved the man's style. He, in my opinion, still to this day, has the best style when it comes to comp drifting.
That's fair.
Comp drifting, like not saying grassroots drifting, not saying street drifting.
Competition.
When it comes
drifting.
To comp drifting, I still feel like he has some of the best style.
That's fair. For me, it's DeNova. He is one of the most aggressive and big angle drivers out there.
I'm gonna blink on the name. You know, it's one of the old Japanese drivers that came over. He used to battle Reese Milton. Like we're talking, like when drift started becoming popular.
Yeah.
I forgot his name.
I can't remember.
But, like, guys like Yoshihara, Gushi, all these guys. And the
King
few,
Gushi, everybody knows he's the top number one drifter.
Well, he used to
day.
Mr. Hanson, like, pop out. Who am I thinking of? I'm
wasn't
thinking.
King Gushi the one in Tokyo Drift?
No.
No.
No, who was the DK in Tokyo Drift?
Oh, he's just an actor.
No, he wasn't an actor. No. The DK.
His stunt double?
No. The fisherman, when they were fishing.
Oh,
he was
the inventor.
Actual DK.
He was the original. He passed away a while ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you say DK, I'm thinking the character, not the actual.
Oh, Donkey Kong?
No. Oh, you're talking the Godfather of Drifting.
Yep.
Yeah, the Godfather of Drifting.
So that's, him. I forgot. I'm so pissed I can't think of that guy's name.
I'm going to need to call a timeout. I got to use the bathroom.
Oh, please, me too, after.
100%.
Okay.
I'm going to. Yep. And then it should resume exactly where we left off.
All right. So we're back. Quick break.
Silly goose.
So. Kind of what I was talking about was it was Daigo Saito. That's when I first started drifting. Is it was when him and Millen started battling a lot.
Yeah,
that's when I got into it. I paid attention for like 2 years, and I kind of lost. You know, that's when I started going back to school and shit. And I was like, oh, I'll catch up later.
Yeah.
You know, that is also what made me into drifting was Tokyo Drift.
I was impressed how good that movie was made.
I was so young that when it first came out, it was like a foundation. Yeah, it was a foundation for me to build off of being like, that's what I want to do.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that was one of the best Fast Furious movies they made.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I hate how they went off track and started doing all these heists
and
everything.
And
but
well, I mean, to be fair, they started off doing heists.
Well, they did, but they were doing race car heists. They were stealing gas. They were stealing, like, stuff.
DVD players and TVs.
Stuff that people actually know what people do. I don't know many people who take a submarine
or go to space.
Yeah, or
I haven't seen
bolt.
That one.
Or a tank
with two guys charged that have apparently indestructible frames. But what was speaking of that? What was your first memory of drifting, Grace? First time you heard it, like you
had to found Tokyo Drift.
Really?
That was my first time as well.
I found out before you did?
Yep.
You know, I went to Hot Import Nights before.
Hey, that was thanks to Kyle.
Tokyo Drift.
I grew up with muscle cars.
True.
My dad was always into muscle cars, and then Tokyo Drift came out, and I saw it well after it was released. But it was...
We'll start building your
family. It was Tokyo Drift that sold me on it.
It was, I think, yeah.
Is it because it started off with him and his 60-something Chevelle?
That scene was too funny.
Or that 90-something probably, Chevelle.
30, probably we sold it.
That 32 or 34 mile range.
Yep.
What about, so you guys both had a Tokyo Drift. Mine was at a, mine was a couple weeks before I had to buy tires for the Camry. I had just gotten the, right when I got the Camry. That's when I first got hearing, but that's when Kyle was showing me that.
Yeah.
Because that's right about when I met Kyle, is when I kind of started hearing about it, back when he had the Avalon. Bro, that was so fucking, we're talking 15 years ago.
The things we got in that thing.
And for me, I won't lie, like at the time, I thought this was, you know, not a newly invented sport, but they're like, right. they had just started.
Right.
I didn't realize they had been going, like, Volky and Judy was competing there, like, 15 years was still competing.
Yep.
And it was going years before that. For me, like, but like you said, you grew up around drag racing and muscle cars. I grew up around muscle cars and drag racing and circuit racing. Like, and then you grew up around Dale Souls. Like, Dale Souls, but like, figure,
wide variety.
Like, he was coming, I think he, when you were born, it was a good time because you had a huge mix of everything.
Yeah.
You had the cinemas being made, that a little more animated, but.
Yep.
But that's when you, we were, alright, those are my people that are around my age or older. You'll understand the pain of this. I was born for the internet. You were born.
Technically, so was I. I grew up while the internet was growing up as well.
Being developed.
And when you were born, it was already established. It was existing.
So what?
And it's only gotten more enhanced.
For me, what introduced me to drifting was Tokyo Drift. What got me into drifting was Initial D.
Ooh. Who showed you Initial D?
So who showed me Initial D was... Actually, I was at summer school.
Not paying attention to shit.
Through high school. The first year I went to summer school, this kid that showed up there was from a completely different school. His name is Patrick Strong. Little Asian kid, actually.
Patrick Strong.
He's the one that told me about it. And I went home later that night and I binge-watched the fuck out of that.
I think it
and
was...
that's what sold me on it. He's still into import cars as well, to
that's
this
awesome.
Day.
How do you think...
I don't talk to him much, but we follow each other on
hey,
Facebook.
Who knows? He might listen to it.
I hope so.
If you do, hit us up.
You brought up Initial D. How do you feel about Sun Kung doing it?
I think... Okay, so there was a previous live-action movie... That was horribly done. That was such a shitly done movie.
It was
I just watched that, actually, and I was so disappointed. Because I won't lie, I got into the anime phase pretty late. So I just finished the anime of Initial D.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least the two seasons that they have on Hulu. And
you need Crunchyroll.
Yeah, I know. I need to get it.
So when I found about mine, on a quick side note, because I know exactly where you're going. It's going to be good. But I found about mine because John Lane and Jordan told me about it. Because I was like, I'm looking, because I that's when we had started gaming more. I suck at games. They would play just kind of go and get to warm up. So thank you guys if you hear it. Thanks for playing my crappy ass on games. I go and play Call of Duty and Black Ops and other stuff for fun. I started getting okay when I started going really learning and they'd give me tips and I'd go and practice. But I was never a big gamer. But then I'd gone and looked. I was like, man, I really want a fun. I want a fun car show. I want a series to watch. And this is back when like Netflix was like $4.99. This is before
the good old days.
Yeah, back when you could buy a McDouble for a dollar.
Yep.
we sound so long. No, they had gone and show me about it. And John and Jordan, one of the guys at the shop, was like, "Hey, go and watch this clip." I was like, but do they have it in, you know, they have a dub edition or something? He goes, well, you got this. He sent me a link. He goes, just watch one episode.
Yep.
Hooked.
Instantly.
I watched the live, like the movie.
Yeah, terrible.
I don't think I made it to the first mountain run.
Nope.
I had to try three times to watch because I got, I had looked into the movie. I watched, I had essentially watched the series twice. Yep. I watched the English dub edition.
Yeah.
But I initially watched the Japanese with the Japanese subs. With the subs. Mm-hmm. But then I watched the dub edition. I'd go and got it because I'd watched it like a year later.
Yeah.
So now I forgot some of it I can watch. But I loved it. It was such a great... For me, it was super fun.
And for me, it re-sparked it with MF Ghost.
I haven't seen MF Ghost. So but I think what grabbed me the most is the father-son duo.
Yeah, like, definitely.
It grabbed the family aspect. I watched the movie.
Because it's usually our dads that get us into this.
Right. I watched the movie, and I had to stop. I couldn't make it through.
It was just terrible. So I'm excited for this new one.
He's excited. What are your thoughts on who's making it, and how do you think it's going to...
I'm only excited because of who's making it.
That's the only
thing. Exactly. I was super excited
until I heard.
If it's trash, then so he's going to disappoint a lot of people.
So what? The few things I think,
but he's just so good of a human in person that I cannot see him failing this movie.
No, I can't either.
Was it from what I heard? I might be wrong because I saw a few things on like TikTok and Facebook and shit. He's going to use Japanese characters.
Good.
He's going to use more of a true scene. He's actually going to film it in Japan or Japan like areas.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be much more authentic.
Yeah, I heard that he's going to try to make this movie the best authentic version of Initial D you can get, where he's going to try to go use the mountains.
So
he's going to try to get access to all that, is what I've heard on social media.
Even if they go, say they film in, I'll pick fucking New York, because they've got this, if you can go and get that, even if they film bits and pieces, but again, my thing is, I want to see the characters portrayed correctly, I want to go and get this and that. But there's just some things you have to film in those countries that we don't have here without spending an ignorant amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
But no, for me, so you're excited. Yep. I'm excited. All I know is when it releases, we're going to watch that movie.
Yes.
Since we're kind of on the topic, how do you guys feel about the whole Gran Turismo?
I haven't seen it. Shut up. Oh, I thought you meant the movie.
Sim racing or the movie?
Like both, just them implementing that a sim racer can be an actual racer.
I absolutely love the movie, and
how do you feel about the idea of it?
So I'm a racer going into sim, and it is so difficult unless you have the settings set up right. In realistic driving, you can get into a car and you can learn that car. You have all the feedback from the vibrations of the road, the conditions of the road, how the vehicle responds. You feel everything. With sim racing, if you have a very basic grassroots style sim setup, it is completely different. But I feel if you go from sim racing to actual racing, you can adapt very well, because you're going from no feedback other than what's in the wheel to your entire vehicle giving you feedback. And from there, it's just adapting to the rest of the vehicle, giving you feedback. From sim to driving, I feel like it's 100% doable. From driving to sim, it's a little bit more difficult, but not
impossible.
It is doable.
So say someone had a previous setup to which they were a pro simmer, and they thought this is how a realistic car would feel. Do you think that driver that's never touched a sim could hop on that sim?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think there would be a learning curve, because if a sim driver is setting up who's never driven the car, and having someone who has driven the car competitively jumps into it, there's going to be
definitely
some differences, but not major. There's going to be a learning curve no matter what.
There's going to be differences between sim races. There's going to be differences in actual vehicles. So, say me and
because
you both have pro.
Unless you have
one's a real thing, one's virtual.
No, I'm saying
even going to be that difference.
I'm saying car versus car and sim versus sim. Two sims for different sizes would be just like
different.
Exactly. Like
unless you go all out with the sim setup,
even then it comes
it gives you the feedback, the whole station
motion and
those are fucking nasty.
It gives you the feedback of the road. You hit a pothole, the whole station.
Like you get
it moves. That would be the only way. That way you know track for track, setup for setup. It is damn near identical. That I could see being a smooth transition between both.
Yeah. I think
the only difference would be the G forces while turning. That's the only thing you'd have to account
even then. Some of these rigs, they actually have G force simulators where you actually have fans and everything built in. But when some of those rigs throw you, it's not just here. It's throwing you.
It throws you.
I was like, Jesus Christ!
Does it hold you there?
Because if you're sliding, it's gonna hold you. But
yeah,
But I've noticed is it a
hold? Because what I see it doing is just tilting and holding you. Like, it throws you, but the G-forces of a car. So,
yeah, you
like,
won't
drifting.
Feel that pressure. But a lot of yeah. stuff, what I've seen a few sim rigs do is to simulate that. Not the actual pressure, but the simulated one is what they'll do is they'll actually have fans blowing on you.
But it's still
it's enough to get the mental aspect of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But your body, the body aspect of it, I can't imagine.
It's kind of like going to, like, NASA and going to, like, a zero gravity or the G-force chamber.
It's like in the G35. Yeah. You throw it sideways, you counter, and you're going.
You're
constantly
your body.
Pushed.
Yeah.
Because
right,
the car is pushing you.
And you have
that stationary sim setup. I can't.
So that's the thing.
I can't see it.
Too many people overread and overemphasize that is, but it's not realistic. It doesn't need to be realistic. What it needs to do is teach you and
yeah.
break your habits. It needs to
yep.
teach you, example, for grip racing,
mm-hmm.
course racing. It doesn't need to seem like every second of that thing.
It's good for finding the line.
Yeah, find the line. Yep. Learning racing habits, braking habits,
mm-hmm.
learning field of vision, learning markers.
Yes.
Or learning to generalize course.
A full, realistic setup for it is not what you do it for. It's to familiarize yourself with the track.
Yeah.
Find the line, figure out the best way to go.
Example,
about.
Like a set of course in US here. If you're going to go race the US here and it might rain that weekend,
mm-hmm.
you can go and build your vehicle as close to spec as that with that kind of tire you have.
Yep. It's your pre-run before
you
get
can,
there. That
yeah.
way, if your car, for some reason, breaks there, you still know the layout. You know
yeah.
exactly what that setup is going to do.
Do I? Right. So, kind of on a sidebar of that, to end, like getting back to your question, do I think a sim racer can gain a vehicle?
Yeah.
And drive it, if that racer put in enough time and has the skill and adaption to it,
mm-hmm.
because there's a kid, he's a 16-year-old kid who races for RTR.
Yep.
He was a sim racer.
Yep. Same
and
with,
he's a
same
professional
with Gran
drifter.
Turismo. Same
yeah.
with Gran Turismo.
Don't spoil the movie for me. I haven't watched it yet. But it's like, it can get done. Is it as easy as people think? There's no way in hell.
It's not easy.
I'm
but
probably
going to
watch rewatch Gran Turismo tonight, because that was such a good damn
it was so
movie.
Good.
I think sims are good for. I think sims are good to learn, to practice,
yep. to
go
familiarize.
Get good ideas, and especially like say for me, I've never drifted.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the aspects, especially if you, like say you have VR. I don't have VR. I get motion sick.
Mm-hmm.
I have to build that up. I'm not spending money. I'd rather put it in the 240.
I can't do VR.
Yeah, VR makes me motion sick, and I've been a gamer forever.
Yeah.
But that stuff still makes me
the setup that you
sick.
Have sitting inside. Perfect.
Yeah, it's
what you have right now
games.
Is gonna help you so much. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get a settle on, no, I promise you. Once we get a settle on the laptop and
no.
you start drifting it, and the first time you step into this car. You're going to be like,
it's
holy fucking shit.
I have a concept. Like, and my thing is, I use Sims for concepts, like flight
mm-hmm.
simulators. You don't use it to learn how to fly.
Nope.
You learn
it's
it
to refine.
Yeah, to refine, to adapt,
but
and to get a more...
Fortunately, Assetto... No, fortunately, Assetto and Sims are so good at this point. I
yep.
swear to God, you're going to hop off that Sim, and you're going to link... A track.
It'll be minor
and
adjustments.
Like five laps. I guarantee
the
you,
setup
first
has,
five laps, you're going to link a track.
The setup he has on Car X, practice it and master it.
I can't
when
wait
you
for
hop setup. Into this 240, it'll be minor adjustments.
It's going to be, you're going to be like, wow, Nate, I'm
the
so glad you talked me into this.
The
I
only adjustment
you.
You'll need is, once you throw it, the G-forces. That's the only thing.
Yeah, you're just going to have to get used to being slammed to the seat back
yep.
and forth.
Especially the seat's twice my size.
For now, that might change.
We'll
eventually get everything set up.
People are using
full
blocks. They put them in basically like sleeves,
mm-hmm.
and they drop them in for when you get into your seat.
Yep.
They use that a lot for passengers, too, because you know, a lot of passengers are a lot slimmer than their usual selves.
I heard that, like a lot of... So with Ford Light or whatever, like a lot of the IndyCar,
mm-hmm.
like those endurance
yep.
series, everybody runs off a base bucket and they
yep.
mold a seat insert. To
it's
you.
Like it's almost
so
like
you
a
get out,
foam.
He drops his seat in. Like you get out, you pull
mm-hmm.
your pad with you. He drops it in. But everybody, not everybody, some teams,
yeah.
they run off a base bucket, so they
right,
mold
right,
your
right,
casing
right.
to you.
Yep.
That's why
but,
I was. That was my question earlier with Colin. Did he get his seat molded
I,
to him, or
I
was
really
it?
Really don't know. I think he pre-ordered it as is.
I said,
as
much as he spent on that car and that seat, I've heard even Grid Life. I've heard of guys spending the actual kind of money on seats. Mm-hmm. Where you can get a seat where you tell them, hey, I'm, example, 5'4", 120 pounds, this is my, you know, mm-hmm. here's my shoulder, here's my hips. You know, you give them your measurements, yep. and they, this is, a, you know, you have this waist and you're this height, you need this seat.
Well, I seen, like, a TikTok recently of, like, this driver, he was sitting in a seat, and they used it that
plastic.
Yeah, and they yep. used it expanding foam, and then molded yep. it around him.
Yep, it's like, the mattress on a box. It comes in that plastic, as soon as you rip it open and it hits that air, it expands itself into its size. It's the same thing with the molded racing seats. It's all in plastic, you sit in it. They break it open, and then it starts expanding, and you just sit there in the position that you're going to be in, and it molds to you, and then you'll just have to shave it down to make it a little smoother.
And I feel like most of those seats are going to be more for the IndyCar, F1, mm-hmm. and during seasons.
I've seen drifters do it. Even drag racers do it.
Drag racers, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Drifting would be the best because you're yeah. most being thrown around in your seat.
For pro driving, but
that's not something you're going to see on most
for grassroots and pro-am. Finding their measurements and this is close enough.
Yeah. Grassroots cars, I expect to have the bare minimum in a car to be able to drift.
Yep. Ready for a hot take? Grid life is not grassroots.
No.
Grid life is no longer grassroots.
No, you need a big following to be even accepted into it.
It's the same as SEMA now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great.
There's a lot of people with bare minimum followers, and they still get into it, but you need a decent following to get in and get accepted.
Grassroots is the new car show, and
except
Grid life is
Sunday
the new SEMA.
Yep.
Because, like, you have except to be invited to go to them now.
Yep.
Yeah.
I could apply
next year with the Camaro, and I'll probably get rejected for Grid Life. Ross could do it. Ross has a nice, flashy car. He's already been to almost all of them.
He's got enough following.
And he would get accepted with his new car. Mm-hmm. You just need a good following.
I can see them promote what they're doing.
Yeah, because it also benefits them if you have a big following. It's going to bring more people.
Yep.
I could see them being more picky on the drifters, because that is huge risk.
It is definitely a huge risk for them.
It sucks when, and the sad part is everybody thinks of Grid Life as GLTC Cup, drifting. You're forgetting about Sunday Cup, HPDE, all these other classes that nobody's seen because
a lot of people see
it's got
Grid Life
party.
For the music festival as
yeah.
well.
It's you have the music festivals and that. Mm-hmm. So like,
well, yeah,
like,
a lot of people
I look
see
at
Grid
like,
Life like a rave.
It sounds good to me, but like I watch Grid Life for Sunday Cup. Because it's an average affordable car.
I'd say I'd watch it for the drifting, but
piss on
the drifting isn't very common.
No circuit racing.
Apparently,
you get like 3 laps of drifting out of it.
Apparently, this supposedly from what I heard rumored is this year they're trying to aim to certain tracks where they have an option to run drifting separate.
Yeah,
they're going to be able to stream and stream simultaneously.
So they do drifting
where it's
separate,
not delayed.
It's not as common.
Yeah,
they have for drifting. It's very minimal laps that you.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But
they
started off with like GLTC, so that's their main focus on it. I wish they would do a few more laps, split it 50-50 between drifting and GLTC.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're trying to find venues where they can run drifting simultaneously as the races are going on, where people can spectate multiple times.
Road
America, I heard, is one of them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Vegas Drift. They hold drag racing, they hold circuit.
Fuck Coda.
Or Town Attacks and Drift.
They are so expensive. F1 won't go back, apparently, because they beef with the owner.
Damn.
GLTC.
Speaking of F1, I think it was the stupidest fucking thing they did that shit in Vegas.
That was such a dumb race.
Not going to lie. Same with NASCAR. Why the frick did they do it in fucking Chicago?
Oh, I would love to go to the NASCAR in Chicago.
Well, the reason is because they understand that in order to compete and keep
But the roads were shit.
Hold on. In order to compete with this to be alive, to keep the sport alive, they have to go to road racing.
Yep.
What are you going to do? You're going to go to a city that has a massive car industry. Near a massive car industry. Our roads are not the best. But you're tossing taking.
You know, thinking about it, I guarantee Indy and NASCAR battled for Vegas, and Indy ended up winning Vegas, and NASCAR had to be put out here.
No,
really?
They
chose.
They battled for Chicago.
NASCAR was at Joliet a few years ago.
So here's what you also have to think, though. NASCAR was based in Joliet for the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Detroit right there, so you're taking Motor City a few hours away.
I don't know where NASCAR originates from, so that's also a big part.
But I'm saying is you also are taking Route 66, Chicago and Speedway. That used to be one of the key NASCAR Cup races. Right. NASCAR whatever series it happened to be at the time.
Yep.
But you also think of what are some of the largest cities in the country? New York, Chicago, Las Vegas.
And Texas.
Houston, Texas.
Yeah, Houston.
What's an easy one to run?
Chicago.
Chicago, central, it's the middle of the country.
Yep.
It's got a huge following. You have a ton of hotels.
Yep.
You have a bunch of strip.
And a beautiful scenery.
There's a few things on the course I think they could have done.
Beautiful scenery.
Yep.
There's a few things on the course I think they could have done different.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to look at logistically. Mm-hmm. How much of this city can I shut down and not impede the entire city shutting down and impacting that?
Yep. Right.
Same with Vegas.
Yeah.
What I like about what NASCAR did, they kept that shit open. You're in a hotel on 18th floor. Enjoy the fucking race.
Right.
Vegas said, fuck you.
Yep.
Yeah, you had to pay triple. Yeah, you had to pay just to see the race. If you didn't pay, they blocked your window in that hotel.
Yep. Do I think that
Chicago, they were literally lighting up for the race. Yes.
Do I think the course was the best on any of the 2023 stateside races? No. But again, we're not Monaco.
We haven't had
a race going on 100
years. Just to experience it was the first of what they did.
Yeah,
that's true. It's kind of like experience. It's kind of like visiting.
Oh yeah, by the way, you're a Chicagoan, so we made history. But again, it's something where it's something where now you are. Shut up.
Now I am.
But again, it's something where they can grow and learn.
Yep.
Like, I still want to have Chicago authentic pizza. Sorry, that's a topic.
Oh, we can do that.
Authentic Chicago pizza.
Okay.
Oh, he needs to go to Gene and Jude's.
So time. Yeah.
He's been telling me that, man. I need to go.
Man.
Next weekend.
I'm down.
Actually, I might be stupid enough to take your ass tomorrow if the weather's half decent.
No, that's a summer thing you need to do. Enjoy it.
Now.
You can stand outside.
He's got experience that all the families and car people and bikes and... Yeah.
I said summer so we can bring the cars out there.
I think we need...
We need to
start at Cars and Coffee in Illinois.
We have that.
I will say, Illinois has one of the... In the Midwest...
There's a few
largest Cars and Coffee because we have so many venues.
Yep.
The problem is we don't have one.
There's so many different people that try and host Cars and Coffee out here. It's hard to keep track of who's doing.
Okay. You've heard of the Hamilton Collection?
Yeah.
He lives in Naperville.
Yeah, I heard about all that.
So
there was a coffee house that hosted Cars and Coffee. There's like four other ones local, like within
Super
a 30-minute drive.
Chi-Town Super does one on Sundays. Actually, if I'm up to it tomorrow, go. So the problem is, if you look at where a lot of these are held, downtown Chicago, Schaumburg,
or the suburbs of
Glen Ellen, Oak Park.
Yep.
Right.
There is nothing really for the southwest suburbs or the outers.
I don't give a shit. The moment this thing can hit the road, we're taking it to a Cars and Coffee.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be registered. It's going to be street legal. We're taking it to a Cars and Coffee.
It's got the plates in there. I just need to renew the plates.
And that's perfectly fine. We can do that so easily.
That's fair.
No, we're going to push that. We're going to Flintstone it. We're going to cut a hole in the bottom and just...
Yabba-dabba-doo, bitch.
Yabba-dabba-doo up in there.
No, it would be good to go and reach out to some people. Let's do a podcast. I'm sure they might listen to it.
So, like, Total Off-Road, we're doing, like, a spin-off of it. It's going to be lip kits and lattes.
Yeah, so, like, and so, essentially what Total Off-Road is going to do, from what you're telling me, is you're going to have themed days, but everybody's welcome.
Yep.
But say it's going to be, like...
So, like, lip kits and lattes, anything lifted. We're going to do,
even if you
we're
going to
do an event for lowered vehicles. We're going to do an event for anyone with, like, Doves, 22 or bigger wheels. We're going to do one for...
Oh, donks?
We're doing, like, a boxer brawl. It's going to be donks anything with a boxer motor in it.
So, like, donks and donuts.
Donks and donuts. We're
going to
try and target
sick.
Everything. Broncos and bagels. We're going to do everything
we
can think
events.
Of.
Oh, we got a few of them.
Stadium and sushi.
Right. Wow, that wind is hitting hard. I'm getting so cold.
Yeah, it is getting chilly out here.
No, I think it'd be good because there's a podcast that's about throwing wrenches. They're out of Peoria, and they got one out there, but their car seems pretty tight knit.
Personally,
you know, I
would love to either us go on their podcast or them come on ours.
I want us to. I want to. Now that you're here, I want us to kind of get going. Mm-hmm. But now that you're here,
I'd like to get their viewpoints on things.
Yeah. And what I like is, so one's a Toyota guy.
Mm-hmm.
But they're
he's really big into Celicas, from what I heard.
Yeah, and they're a different generation. Yeah, they're a different generation.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So they're I'd love closer to learn my parents' age.
I want to learn from them.
Oh, I don't want to say they're that old, but you know they're
either way. Their viewpoint's a viewpoint. Yeah. Something we can learn off of.
And they grew up in Chicago, and we're the close. Chicago. They grew up in Illinois. We're the close enough to
all of Illinois, Chicagoland.
You know, so if they want to go downtown Chicago for the weekend, they mm-hmm. can. They can go leave at 7 a.m., be there,
yep.
have the day, and come leave at 5 o'clock and be home at a decent time.
Right.
But it's also, they grew up in a different part. Like, mm-hmm. the lifestyle out there is a little bit different.
Yep.
But everything's a little more spaced out.
Yep.
But they also, from what I heard, they have one of the highest rated Toyota dealers. I almost sent Heidi out there to go get her Sequoia.
Yeah. I mean, her Sequoia was pretty nice.
It was pretty nice.
Till it went through some shit.
Fixed it.
Regular headlights or LEDs?
LEDs.
Regular headlights with LEDs.
I
can get the factory housing with LEDs on it.
I want the thin LEDs with the sleepy eyes.
It's sealed.
Yeah, that's right. It's factory housing. Oh, okay. LED. It's a whole separate unit.
Since we're talking about this at the moment, since it's a 240, do I like drowsy eyes, sleepy eyes, or regular?
Regular. 100%.
I like the sleepy
eyes. So what's drowsy?
Drowsy is where they tilt out and down.
Oh, fuck no. Mm-hmm. Fuck no.
They sleepy tilt eyes out. When they're lowered, kind of like Asian eyes. No.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think drowsy would be... The sleepy would be cool for drifting. Mm-hmm. I want regular.
That's how
ice.
Ross's purple car was.
I want regular for...
He had a little LED
regular
bar.
For daily, I feel like... I feel like sleepy eyes is for drifting, drowsies for a show car.
Yeah. I like regular with the factory button so you can move them up and down. I like it because my first 240 was all factory and I could push the button fast as shit and it would start making them fucking wink at people.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part. That's why I like factory.
That was going to be my argument earlier when I asked you if you like the pop-ups are smooth. My argument is if you click it fast enough, you mm-hmm. can wink at people.
Yep. 100%. That or just disconnect one of the motors and push the button and it's only doing one.
Put each one on a toggle switch.
That could work too.
Yeah.
If you wanted to put the extra work to do that.
But yeah, so like you were saying with the Cars and Coffee, like it'd be good to definitely get some other podcasts on. There's one from Australia, Gutter to Gutter. We need to get him on. Why don't chit chat with him a little bit more? I'd love to go out there. You can keep them damn spiders away from me though.
I mean, a box of spider.
They're as big as I am, dude.
No, that's why I want to box them.
No, those bats, man. Those bats are with
either
spider.
One. I'm swinging on something out there. I want to box a kangaroo. I'm going to get my ass handed to me. But
well, you won't be boxing them. They're going to kick your ass, literally.
I can't box them. I'll give a shit. I'll lose, but I want to try.
Definitely Cars and Coffee, I think, would be cool. I don't think we have a large enough presence for Cars and Coffee out here, especially for a mixed car group.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is most of the car events we have in this area, as you've seen, are cruise nights, which is muscle cars, classic cars.
Or you get four corners where it's...
A bunch of
a mix of everything. It's trucks, imports,
but
occasionally
again,
a muscle car.
That's 35 minutes.
But there are a bunch of kids that are just fucking off. Like, they're takeover kids now.
Yeah, I'd love to go out to have us go out to Peoria and mm-hmm. go and, you know, chit chat with some of these different podcasts. But I'd love to go see their cars because I haven't seen one in 15 years, 20 years.
Yeah.
The last time I was out there was for the state cross country championship.
Last time I was in Peoria, I was doing a driving class because I got my license taken.
Jesus, man. At least I was out there for something.
Before that was for my M class school.
Oh, okay. I think we should look at getting to connect with some people local and try to, even if it's 6-7 of us to get together and mm-hmm. go and slowly build and figure out the logistics of it, of getting to actually do a Joliet area Cars and Coffee.
Mm-hmm. A nice chill.
Because how far is Navy from here? 30 minutes?
If that, like
20.
Well,
depends on traffic. Depends on weather.
Iron Gate is 33 minutes from here.
Okay.
I was going to say to
so downtown Avery was 25.
Fox Valley is like 26, isn't that?
Straight down 59.
Depends what part, but then we're still going 10 minutes past that to get to Woody's Cars and Coffee. Or we have to go to downtown Avery. But again, on average, the Woody's seems right at least 30 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we have no Cars and Coffee representation in this area. which I think sucks because I remember growing up, every town or every area. So it could be Joliet, Cresto, Plainfield, Bolingbrook. You might have one on the north side towards Naperville.
Yeah.
But you have one downtown Plainfield.
Yeah.
Our closest one is downtown Plainfield. It's the closest cars that you have, but it's Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock.
I thought it was Tuesdays.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
I think it was Tuesday.
It's like a midweek.
Yeah.
But it's like, it starts at like 3 o'clock.
Yep.
This is 100% off topic, but we should turn on that.
Bro, for real.
Okay, I'm cold. Can you plug that?